Because what you got is Danny usually communicates with Sarah, Hunter, and Caleb, mostly by text, which is probably why Caleb sounds surprised when he answers the phone and says,
"Hi, Danny."
"Hi." There's probably a careful, delicate way to do this, but Danny dives right in. "If you don't already have plans for Christmas, my boys are with their mom. Claude invited us to go to the thing he's going to. Or if you don't want to do a Christmas thing, we can hang out here and have Chinese food and watch movies or something."
"You want to spend Christmas with me?"
Caleb asks after a moment. "Yes." Danny hesitates for a second and says, "It's going to be hard for me to be away from my family for Christmas. And it's going to be hard for you too. Let's have fun instead."
"Are you sure? Claude wanting you to have Christmas with him seems like a boyfriend thing."
Danny doesn't bother saying they're just friends. "I'm sure. His thing is just a bunch of guys who aren't going to see their families, and he invited both of us. It's going to be low-key, mostly just dinner and some hanging out."
"Okay,"
Caleb says.
"Thank you. I wasn't looking forward to Christmas."
"I'm glad you're coming," Danny says. "I'll pick you up at noon."
"Do I need to bring anything?"
"No, they'll take care of dinner. And it's not a big gift kind of thing. Well, there might be some presents, but just the guys who are friends. So you don't have to bring anything."
"Okay,"
Caleb says.
"I'll see you on Christmas. Thank you."
"You're welcome." Then he hangs up and texts Claude. "Caleb and I are coming to Christmas." There aren't many cars around campus on Christmas, so Danny parks and goes to the door instead of just texting Caleb. Caleb answers it, carefully balancing 3 pies. "I know you said I didn't need to bring anything, but I was going to make a pie anyway, and then I got carried away?" Danny takes one of the pies from him. "Pie for breakfast?"
"Yeah,"
Caleb says with a look that almost counts as a smile.
"What's left of that one is in the fridge upstairs."
"I doubt Scott made homemade pies," Danny says, "so these will be appreciated." They put the pies in the back and head to Scott's, where the pie Danny carries in just barely survives his greeting.
"You brought baked goods?"
"No," Danny says with a chuckle. "Caleb brought baked goods. Caleb, Scott." They exchange nods, and Scott says,
"Come in. Everyone else is here. You're late, Briere."
"I'm not late," Danny says. "They're all early." He and Caleb follow Scott into the kitchen, where there is an array of hockey players standing around. Scott makes space in the fridge for the pie, and then they turn around and Danny introduces Caleb around.
"You brought pie," Shanner says. "I like you already."
Caleb smiles at him.
"You're cooking," he says. "I like you already."
Shanner laughs.
"Good one."
"Why are you here?" Danny asks. "Shouldn't you be at Luke's?"
"They went to the in-laws."
"For which we're all grateful," Scott says. "Otherwise, who knows what we'd be eating?"
"Grilled cheese,"
Lafton says, and everyone laughs, even Caleb.
"I don't see what's wrong with grilled cheese for Christmas," Claude says.
"Of course you don't." Scott claps him on the shoulder. "That's why we keep you around, G." Caleb sidesteps the chirping and asks Shanna,
"Do you want some help? I can follow directions."
Shanna glances at Danny before he says,
"Yes, here, cut this up."
"The college kid is making us look bad," Lafton says. Claude says,
"It doesn't take much."
Scott nudges Danny. "How's college? I haven't seen you in a while."
"Finals were brutal," Claude says, "for the rest of us."
Danny makes a face at him.
It's good, he says to Scott. I made it through the first semester without failing or wanting to kill Claude.
Scott laughs.
That's a feat worth bragging about.
I don't usually manage a season without that.
Claude shoves his way between them. I'm not that bad.
Danny bumps him with his shoulder and says, leaning against him,
No, you're not. But finals and playoffs are. Enough flirting, Shanna says. Gee, cut this up.
Caleb shoots a look at Danny. Danny shrugs and asks Scott how he's been. Either by virtue of being the oldest or the worst in the kitchen, Danny and Scott get out of helping to cook and get to just enjoy the meal, which they all sit down to together and don't start eating until Scott offers up a grace that includes thanks for the great sport of hockey. It's an easy, comfortable meal, and either Claude warned the rest of them, or they're more sensitive than Danny would have given them credit for, because none of them ask about Caleb's family. They're still hanging out after they've eaten when Caleb's phone rings. He takes it out, looks at it, and says,
Is there somewhere I can take this?
Scott says,
Master at the end of the hall.
And Caleb answers his phone as he goes down the hall. Caleb's gone for a while, long enough that they've all managed to get himself up from the table to help clean up, and he comes back with red eyes. Danny's been helping transfer leftovers to containers, but he leaves what he's doing on the counter and goes to hug Caleb, because he looks like he needs it. Caleb clings to him pretty tightly. Danny just lets him hang on as long as he needs to, and after a moment of silence, the other guys go back to what they were doing, with only a slightly reduced noise level. Caleb says,
Thanks,
before he lets go.
Of course.
Then he keeps an arm around Caleb's shoulder, and Claude squeezes Caleb's shoulder as he passes by them.
Drink?
Shanna asks.
Pie.
Pie, Caleb says.
Pie!
Shanna shoves the last of the empty dishes into a messy stack next to the sink and gets the pies out of the fridge. Scott has ice cream in the freezer, so they make up plates of pie and ice cream. Shanna ignores them laughing at him and gets out Scott's large pasta bowls instead of small dessert plates and take them into the living room. Caleb gets a lot of well-deserved compliments on the pie, and it's not just Shanna going back for seconds. They're lazing around, scraping at the last bits of pie and ice cream, when Shanna claps his hands together and says,
Presents!
There's a general bustle as they take their plates to the kitchen and a couple of people gather up packages or envelopes from under the tree or their coat pockets.
You first,
Shanna says, and he lobs a package at Scott. Scott tears open the overtaped paper and holds up an assortment of socks with flower patterns to a lot of laughter.
I know you like them,
Shanna says. Scott throws a pair at him.
That's you.
Shanna throws them back.
Nope, all yours. Now you have your own.
There are a couple of small gifts, and in the middle of it, Danny hands an envelope to Caleb.
Danny, Caleb says when he opens it. This is too much. I can't.
Then he closes Caleb's fingers over the gift card.
Yes, you can. We're friends, and if you can gossip about my sex life, I can give you a Christmas present.
Thank you, Caleb says after a moment. Then he hugs Danny tightly.
Your turn,
Claude says, and then he's putting an envelope into Danny's hands. Danny opens it to find a handful of printed pages and game tickets. The printed pages are flight and hotel confirmations, and the tickets are 4 to a Flyers game in Toronto, and 4 to a Kitchener game in Mississauga. It's a family hockey vacation for Danny, Claude, and the boys.
I already cleared it with Sylvie, Claude says, and it's a holiday weekend here and a study week for Carson, so none of you will miss school.
Claude, Danny says through a throat tight with emotion.
Thank you. Claude grins at him. Here. Then he hands over Claude's present, and Claude tears the envelope open, and then stares at the paper inside it. Shanner snatches it out of his hand and reads out loud.
20 lessons with personal chef Mitchell Forrester.
Claude laughs. Really?
It was Cameron's idea, Danny says. It's for the three of us.
Claude keeps grinning at him.
Thank you. It's great.
Danny gets off the couch and tugs Claude up so he can hug him. It goes on for a while, so Danny's not surprised to get chirped for it.
I might have some mistletoe around here, Scott says, if you want an excuse to make out.
Danny and Claude draw apart slowly, and Claude flips Scott off.
Or maybe you don't need an excuse,
Scott says slowly, looking between them. Danny sits back down on the couch, and Claude goes back to his chair, which means Scott has to choose who he wants to direct questions to.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Claude says.
It's an obvious lie, and everyone but Caleb knows him well enough to know it.
Seriously? Scott starts to laugh. Give it up, G, Shanna says. We all know what you look like when you've been getting laid, and you have been getting laid.
How long? Scott starts. No, wait, since you lived together?
Would you believe, Claude says, that we never did when we lived together?
No, Scott says.
It's true, Danny says.
Scott looks from one to the other.
Why not?
Danny says, I just got divorced. You remember what that was like. And he was so young. Scott looks at them again, and Chandler's also looking back and forth, like he's trying to figure them out. It's Lafton who finally asks.
So how long?
Claude looks at Danny.
There isn't really any getting out of it, so Danny sighs and nods at him.
Later, Danny says. The next season, since then.
Off and on, Danny adds.
Not that it's any of your business.
Caleb laughs.
I don't think you're getting out of talking about it with them either.
Scott glares at Claude.
5 years, and you never told me about it?
It wasn't a big deal, Claude says, and I didn't want to listen to the chirping.
You're going to hear it now, Scott says, and those weren't not a big deal Christmas presents.
Caleb doubles over with laughter.
Forget it, he says to Scott. We've been trying all semester to get Danny to admit Claude's his boyfriend. It's not going to work.
Scott turns on Danny.
The college kids know?
Danny sighs. Just my study group. Scott glares at him and Claude in turn.
I'm pissed off that you didn't tell me, but congratulations. I hope you're happy.
Claude exchanges a look with Danny and says,
We'll be happier if we can stop talking about it.
There's no use pretending they're not going to hear about it later, or that the rest of Claude's team isn't going to find out. But it's a relief to have them give in to Claude's request and change the subject now. It's late by the time the party breaks up, and they've managed to eat enough of Caleb's pies that the leftovers fit in one pie pan. Shanner looks longingly at the rest of it, but Lafton puts a hand over his eyes and holds him back. Shanner struggles against his hold, laughing, but it lets them get out of there with all the pie in Caleb's custody. Caleb thanks everyone politely, Danny hugs everyone, and Claude says he's getting a ride with Danny, which is met with a series of catcalls that follow them out the door. It's a short enough drive to take Caleb back, and despite Caleb having all three pie pans stacked easily enough to carry himself, Danny parks and gets out of the car. He pulls Caleb into a hug, because there can never be enough hugs on Christmas.
Thanks,
Caleb says when he finally lets go. It made it easier. Then he squeezes his shoulder.
Good. I'm around. Call me if you want to hang out.
Caleb nods and grabs the pie pans from the back seat.
Merry Christmas, Claude.
Merry Christmas. Glad you could join us. Caleb waves at them, and then he waits until he's in the building before he pulls away from the curb.
He going to be okay? Claude asks.
I don't know. I hope so.
Then he takes his hand off the wheel for a moment to squeeze Claude's arm.
Thank you for inviting him too. He said it helped.
Good, Claude says. I knew you wouldn't come without him, and I'm glad you came.
He reaches out and puts his hand on Danny's thigh.
You have an empty house, and I had at least a bottle of wine.
Danny grins at him. Yes, you can come home with me. He pushes Claude's hand away.
But stop groping me, I have to drive.
He can see Claude's smirk out of the corner of his eye, and also the way Claude rubs himself through his pants. Then he tightens his hands on the steering wheel.
That's not helping. Not helping you.
Claude doesn't stop. It's very distracting.
Can I fuck you?
Then he swears at him and changes lanes to zip around a Volvo that's going too slow.
Yes, if you don't kill us first.
Claude takes his hand off himself. Then he distracts him from the topic of sex anyway.
Is it okay that they know?
It takes a moment before Claude answers, either because he's thinking about it or because it takes him that long to figure out what Danny's talking about.
I am in for the chirping of my life, he says. But it's okay. Is it okay with you?
Yes, Danny says. He reaches across for a quick squeeze of Claude's thigh.
My friends know. It's only fair that yours do too.
Claude tries to hold Danny's hand where it is. But Danny pulls it away with a laugh, and a protest that he needs both hands to drive. Claude lets him go, reluctantly, but mostly behaves the rest of the way home. It only lasts until they're through the door of the house, and then Claude's hands are everywhere, on the buttons of Danny's shirt, grabbing his cock through his pants, gripping his ass. Danny has to pry his hands away and push him toward the stairs.
Upstairs, bedroom.
Claude makes a face at him.
There's no one else here. I've never gotten to fuck you in the kitchen.
Danny keeps pushing.
The condoms and lube are upstairs.
Claude turns around and kisses him.
Stay here, he says. I'll get them.
We're not fucking in the kitchen.
Yes, we are,
Claude calls from halfway up the stairs. He's going so fast Danny's amazed he hasn't tripped yet.
Or the couch. Your choice.
Instead of following Claude up the stairs, Danny makes sure all the downstairs blinds are closed, and he's leaning against the island in the kitchen when Claude gets downstairs.
No way!
Claude grins as big as Danny's ever seen him.
You've never let me fuck you in the kitchen!
He puts the condom and lube down on the counter and traps Danny there.
Merry Christmas!
Danny grips the front of Claude's shirt and yanks him in for a kiss.
But you're cleaning up. Yes, Claude says, anything.
He settles in, kissing Danny for a while, hands moving from the counter to Danny's body. Danny returns a favor, running his hands through Claude's hair and down his back, and pulling him in so their hips are lined up. Danny tugs at Claude's shirt after a while, because he's all for going slow sometimes, but he also wants to get fucked. They still go slow, peeling clothes off one piece at a time, and kicking them out of the way, until they're naked and clothes still pressing him into the counter. Then he runs his hands up and down Claude's back, and down to hold onto his ass.
I thought you were going to fuck me.
Yes, Claude says. His eyes are dazed when he pulls away.
Yes.
He palms Danny's hip.
Turn around.
Then he does, and Claude kisses the back of his neck before he gently pushes Danny down, so he's bent over the counter. The granite is cold against his overheated skin, and he hisses, and then groans when Claude runs one dry finger over his hole. The lube is also cold, but it heats up as Claude works him open, until he doesn't notice it as anything other than slick, to make it easier for Claude to finger him. Then he shamelessly spills out moans and pleas that finally have enough effect that Claude pulls his fingers out and tears open the condom wrapper. He makes Danny wait for too long before he presses in, slow and steady.
Good? Claude asks.
Yes, Nanny groans. He can't get much purchase on the smooth surface of the counter, but he does his best to push back towards Claude. It gets Claude moving, and it's smooth and even for a little while. Claude bends over him, mouth on the back of his neck. Nanny, he says, can't believe you're letting me do this. You feel so good. Then he turns his head and arches as best he can until Claude gets the hint and kisses him. Come on, he says, because Claude isn't moving. Fuck me. Claude pulls away and fucks into Danny in harder, unpredictable thrusts that send Danny's chest sliding across the countertop. He tries to brace himself against it, but his hands slide on the granite, and he ends up pushed around by Claude's thrust, Claude's hands gripping his hips and anchoring them just a little. Fuck, Claude says. Can you come? Touch me, Danny says. Claude does, lets go of his hip with one hand, and strokes his cock out of time with thrusts that get sloppier. It's still good. It's so good. Then he comes with a shout that echoes back at him of the granite. Claude's hand stays on his cock until Danny gasps out a plea for him to stop, and then it goes back to his hip, wet with his cum this time, and Claude fucks hard into him until he comes. Claude collapses over him, pressing him into the counter for a couple of minutes before he pulls out. Then he stays where he is, not ready to move yet. And Claude comes back, leans over to kiss the back of his neck, and then turns him against the counter so he's leaning backwards over it, with Claude pining him there with his body and kissing him. Top three, Danny mumbles into Claude's mouth. Claude kisses him harder. This is why you should listen to my ideas. I'm going to take all the spots in your top 20. Danny opens his mouth wide to Claude's kiss. It's deep and messy and so fucking good. You're getting closer. He doesn't want to stop kissing Claude, but he does push him away after a while, so he can stand up. His muscles protest and his back is cold. Okay, Claude asks. Danny stretches his arm up toward the ceiling, feeling all the muscles in his back lengthen. Yes. He cups Claude's cheek with one hand and kisses him softly. Granite counters aren't really made for sex. His knees are a little weak too, but that's from the sex, not being bent over the counter. You're cleaning up. I'm going upstairs. You're a cruel man, Claude calls after him. That was a deal. Then he looks over his shoulder as he says it, and Claude's definitely watching his ass as he walks away. Then he cleans himself up and crawls into bed. Unlike Claude, he doesn't have a problem sleeping alone after sex, and he dozes off for a little while until Claude opens the door and comes in with a pile of clothing he drops on the floor. Did you clean up? Yes. Claude gets into bed and kisses Danny's neck. There will be no embarrassing stains for anyone to notice. Then he grins at him and wraps his arms around Claude to pull him close. He kisses Claude, and they make out slow and easy for a couple of minutes. Why top three? Claude asks after a bit. I think that was the best sex of my life. The counters are cold. Claude looks at him and then starts to laugh. We'll have to do that again in the summer, when they're warmer. Then he runs a hand down Claude's back to his ass. Or I could fuck you over the counter next time. Claude shudders and kisses him hard. You better not be joking about that. No, Danny says. Sex in the kitchen wasn't that bad an idea. He smirks at Claude. Not that bad an idea, Claude mutters. He kisses Danny like punctuation in the conversation. Take a nap now so you can do that later. Danny laughs. I don't think we're going to manage that today. But some other time. I'm taking that as a promise, Claude says. Then he kisses his cheek, his temple, his lips. I promise. They nap for a while and get up later for a late dinner. They don't have sex in the kitchen again, but Claude talks him into exchanging lazy handjobs with some kind of Christmas movie on TV. Then he slumps into Claude's sides afterwards. Best Christmas ever, right? Then he rubs his cheek against Claude's shoulder. Best one without the boys.
Claude squeezes his thigh. You'll have them next year. Maybe. Unless Kaelin starts choosing between us and Alexis's family.
They can split up, Claude says. Part of the day there, part of the day here.
He yawns and puts his arm around Danny's shoulder. Can we get back to bed?
How are you so tired? You didn't even do anything today.
I drank a bottle of wine, Claude says, and beat Lafton at ping pong,
and had sex with you twice.
The boys are going to be back sometime in the morning, so Danny sends Claude upstairs and spends a couple of minutes making sure they've cleaned up any signs they had sex downstairs. Claude's already stretched out in bed when Danny gets upstairs. Then he goes past him to clean up and brush his teeth in the bathroom before he climbs into bed with Claude. The house is still quiet when Danny wakes up. He lies there listening to it, Claude's even breathing and no boys or dogs. Claude's breathing shifts, and he turns his head to look at Danny.
Morning.
Morning. Danny runs his hand through Claude's hair.
Hangover?
Claude considers it for a moment before he shakes his head.
No, it wasn't that much wine, and I worked most of it off fucking you.
Then he runs his hand down, under the blankets and along Claude's side to his hip.
Wanna do it again?
Claude looks interested. His eyes flicker down Danny's mouth, down as far as the blanket slipping down his chest. But then he meets Danny's eyes and asks,
Aren't the boys coming back this morning?
Yeah, but it's still early. You probably aren't even up yet. And Sylvie used to do day after Christmas breakfast for them.
Danny slides his hand in, finding Claude's cock and stroking it gently.
I'll blow you.
Yeah, Claude says. Do that.
Then he pushes the blankets away as he moves down so he can look at Claude while he blows him. He doesn't do anything fancy, just sucks, slow and soft, and for so long that his jaw is sore by the time Claude comes with a soft groan.
My turn, Claude says,
and they switch places. Danny's too hard from sucking Claude up for it to last that long, but it's still slow and soft, and Claude rests his cheek on Danny's thigh after. Danny runs his hand through Claude's hair, and they lie there in silence for a while. Danny drives into Philly the week before classes start to buy his books and have lunch with Caleb. Danny takes one look at the dark circles under Caleb's eyes, the way he looks like he's lost some weight, and hustles him into the car to take him somewhere with food better than the burgers and fries he probably would have walked to.
You're not my dad, Caleb says when Danny asks if he's okay.
No, Danny says, you're my friend. And if you can pester me about my sex life, then I get to make sure you're okay when you look like shit. Caleb's head jerks up at the swear word. There's a reason that he doesn't use them much. And then he relaxes a little bit and says,
This is a shitty time of year and I've been working every shift I can.
He shrugs. It's a lot of hours since people are gone between semesters, but at least I'm saving some money. Then he steps carefully when he says, You should come over. The boys are with their mom this week. We can hang out, or you can come over next week when they're back if you need company your own age.
Caleb shrugs. Does Claude know you're inviting other men when your house is empty?
Danny's caught between laughing and making a face.
You're really not my type.
Caleb laughs at him.
And you probably wouldn't cheat on him anyway.
Danny sighs and says, He's not my boyfriend. For the millionth time.
Uh-huh, Caleb says.
Then he waves away that part of the conversation as a lost cause.
When don't you work? I'll come pick you up.
Danny, you don't have to.
Caleb, Danny says. My kids are at their mom's, and most of my friends work or are busy with the hockey season. Come spend time with me.
Okay, Caleb says after a moment. Danny nods.
Good.
He looks at Caleb for a second and then asks, Have you ever been to a hockey game?
No, Caleb says. You don't need to go to that much trouble.
I'm not going to, Danny says. I'll make Claude get us tickets.
Caleb laughs. Okay, fine. We'll go watch your boyfriend play hockey. Someday, I'm going to have a boyfriend, and I'm going to drag you to whatever he's involved in. Then he grins at him. I'm looking forward to it. Caleb relaxes a little after that, and they sit there, talking until Caleb has to go to work. Then he waits until he gets home before he calls Claude. I need tickets, he says, before Claude can do more than say hello.
Call the box office.
Funny, then he says. Two, lower level, not in a suite.
Two, only taking one of the boys?
None of them, then he says. Caleb. There is a moment of speaking silence. He's my friend, then he says, and he's having a tough time right now.
Sure,
Claude says.
And that's why he's going to end up living in your spare room.
Just get me the tickets. Claude laughs.
They'll be waiting for you.
Then he trusts him to take care of it, but he's also glad Claude texts him later to tell him it's done. Then he wears jeans and a Flyers shirt and hoodie for the game, and he tucks a couple of Sharpies into his pocket before he drives into Philly and takes Caleb out for an early dinner before the game. We could eat at the rink, then he says, but this way it won't get in the way of watching the game. It won't get in the way of you watching the game, Caleb says. I won't even know what I'm looking at. Hockey's played on ice, right? Then he laughs at his sly smile. It's not that hard to figure out. He makes sure to get to the rink early so Caleb can get the full hockey fan experience. They walk down to the glass and join the groups of fans standing there to hold up signs and get a good view of warm-ups. Okay, Caleb says, looking around them and reading some of the signs. Explain this to me. This is the warm-up, then he says. They had skate earlier this morning, but this gives them a chance to skate around and take a couple of shots before the game. A lot of people don't arrive until game time, so for fans, this is a good time to get a close-up view. And the signs? Then he shrugs. They're not allowed to hold things up to the glass during the game, so this is the only time they can get the players' attention. Do you actually see the signs? Caleb asks. They seem pretty focused. There's a lot of waiting around in warm-ups, then he says. You have time to look around. Claude skates by on drill and slows and waves when he skates past them. Then he and Caleb wave back, and everyone near them turns to see who Claude's waving at. Like that, Danny says, and he waits it out while people clustered around the glass nudge and whisper at each other until a kid about 10 comes up to them. Are you Danny Briere? Danny crouches down to be at the kid's level. I am. Who are you? The kid looks over her shoulder at the adult who's clearly in charge of her. Rachel. Hi, Rachel. You like hockey? Yes! I play, and tomorrow's my birthday, and it's Christmas break, so I got to come to a game. That's great, Danny says. Who's your favorite player? Scott Hartnell. Danny grins at her. Scott's a great player. And he came to my school. We got to take pictures with him. That's pretty cool, Danny says. Do you want to take a picture with me? Yes! Rachel turns around, and her mom already has her phone out. Then he puts his arm around Rachel, and they both smile for the camera. And then Rachel hugs him and says, Thank you! Then he says, You're welcome! And pulls one of the Sharpies out of his pocket, so he can sign Rachel's mom's hat when she says thank you and asks him to. This was the other reason to come early, wasn't it? Caleb asks as Rachel and her mom go back down to the glass and a couple of more people come toward them. Yes, Danny admits. It probably won't be like this while they're playing, but, he shrugs, I've been to games before. Caleb wanders down closer as the crowd shifts to watch from just behind the glass while Danny smiles for a lot of pictures and signs hats, jerseys, and t-shirts. Danny glances up a couple of times to check on Caleb. He's an adult, but Danny did kind of drag him here, and he feels responsible.
and is glad to see that Caleb's talking to a couple of people around him, and there's one teenager making hand gestures that mean he's probably explaining the drills to Caleb. The press of people wanting to talk to him lets up a bit, and Danny walks down to join Caleb. Getting an idea of what's happening? Barely. Caleb smiles at the teenager next to him. I'm not that much of a sports person. Hockey's not that complicated, Danny says. And these are all pretty simple drills. They're winding down anyway. They are winding down, and Claude skates over toward them and points at Danny through the glass. Danny steps back so he's in just the right place to catch the puck Claude flips over the glass. He waves at Claude, then signs the puck and gives it to the teenager who was talking to Caleb.
Boyfriend,
Caleb says under his breath as people start to move away from the glass. Danny doesn't bother disputing it, and they walk up to the stairs and out into the concourse. They make a full lap of the place. Danny gets stopped for autographs a couple of more times, and they run into a few people he knows from the Flyers organization. Before they go back into the arena and find their seats. It's starting to fill up, and Caleb looks around.
This is a lot of people.
Danny chuckles. Wait until the game starts. If it's a sellout, every seat will be taken, and all the suites will be full. The press is there, he points them out, but there are cameras all over the place. We'll probably end up on the Jumbotron.
I promise not to do anything embarrassing.
Caleb looks around again.
I guess I knew sports were a thing, but I never really thought about it. People do this all the time.
And not just for hockey.
I guess not.
Caleb brings his attention back to Danny.
Sorry, he says. This was your life and everything.
Danny shrugs. But not yours. I hope you like it, but not everyone does. That gets him some looks from people settling into their seats around them, but Danny ignores them. They stop talking about hockey for a bit, and then the lights come down and the teams come out onto the ice.
Wow, Caleb says to Danny when the crowd cheers for Claude. They really like him.
He's the captain, Danny says, and he's been here for a long time. They stand for the anthem, and Danny looks down at Claude in the center of the rink. He misses it, but he couldn't do it forever, and he does like being here to see Claude play. Maybe he can talk Claude into some on-ice work later this week, or maybe they can play against the boys again when they're back from Sylvie's.
That means something good that he's in the middle, right?
Caleb asks about the opening face-off.
He's the first-line center.
Then he glances at Caleb and then starts over at a confused look on his face. He keeps up a steady explanation of the game and what's happening to Caleb, until he starts to get some of it on his own, and even Caleb is on his feet when Claude scores halfway through the first. They do end up on the Jumbotron, during a break in play that's too unpredictable, the linesmen conferring at the glass, for them to do much more than show the crowd. Danny waves at a roar of sound as people recognize him, and Caleb smiles and looks up at the screen. The Flyers win, and Claude gets second star of the game.
Okay, Caleb says as they climb the stairs. He's really good at that. And you were that good?
Good, Danny says, but I don't know that I was quite that good. He's probably one of the 5 best players in the world.
One of, Caleb asks. Shouldn't you have more confidence in him than that?
Danny shrugs and looks around.
There are too many people too close to them for him to bring up Crosby.
There's dispute about who's the absolute best. Most people would put him in the top 5 at least.
So what now? Caleb asks. Do we go congratulate the conquering hero?
If you want. He'll be doing press, but we can always say hi to the guys.
I want the whole experience, Caleb says. He grins. That way, I can make Hunter extremely jealous.
Then he laughs.
All right, this way.
It takes them longer than it might because Danny stops to sign autographs and take pictures, but they make it down to the room eventually. The press is still milling around, and a handful of them, mostly people who've been doing this so long that Danny knows them pretty well, descend on Danny.
He waves Caleb out of the shot, and then he smiles and talks about the game and answers a couple of questions. By the time they are done, Shanna has noticed Caleb and drawn him in to introduce him to the people he doesn't already know, and Claude catches Danny's eyes and smiles at him over the heads of the last couple of reporters talking to him. The reporters clear out, and Claude catches Danny in a sweaty hug. Caleb takes a step back, and Claude just grins at him.
How did you like the game?
I don't think I'm going to become a hockey fan, Caleb says with an apologetic shrug. But it was fun. He grins at Claude.
And Hunter is going to be horribly jealous.
Claude laughs and claps him on the shoulder.
If he gets insufferable, I'll get tickets. You can bring him to a game.
He looks at Danny.
Sarah, too.
Danny nods.
We can probably do that. Nice win.
Claude beams at him.
Thanks.
Do you want me to leave you two alone? Caleb asks in a smirking undertone. Claude eyes Danny speculatively for a moment, before he can't hold the expression anymore and laughs instead.
You're worse than Heartsea.
I told you, Danny says. Luke pokes his head through the doorway, hair combed and suit on.
Gee, you're holding everyone up. It's not like the bar is going anywhere,
Claude calls back to him, and he says to Danny and Caleb,
I think they might leave without me if I don't get going.
Go, Danny says.
Thanks for the tickets, Caleb says.
Yeah, Claude says. Anytime, buddy. It's still strange to leave the locker room and go back to the main parking lot and not out to the player lot.
This place empties out fast,
Caleb says as they walk. There's almost no one left. Not like the handful of people still hanging around downstairs.
Game's over. People want to get home,
Danny says,
especially on a weeknight. What about you? Are you going to get game-winning sex out of this?
Danny pauses with the door to the car half open.
When are you going to get a sex life I can ask you inappropriate questions about?
Approximately never at the rate I'm going, Caleb says.
So, does the conquering hero get to come home to you and get laid?
Probably not, Danny admits. If they're going out drinking, he'll probably crash at Scott's.
Too bad for you, Caleb says. That sweaty coming off a win thing is a good look.
It surprises Danny into a laugh.
Not Claude, Caleb says. Not for me, but some of the rest of them. It was a good look.
He's grinning when Danny looks over at him, but not enough for Danny to tell how much he's serious and how much he's just giving Danny shit.
Well, Danny says, some of them are your age, and there are plenty of sports on campus. I'm sure you can find an athlete who's gay or bi.
Maybe, Caleb says.
I don't think that the post-twin sweaty sex would really make up for being gone all the time, especially if you don't even get the post-twin sweaty sex.
You find the right bar to hang around, Danny says, and you could get just the post-twin sweaty sex. There's a moment of silence before Caleb starts laughing.
Are you really supposed to be encouraging me to have casual sex?
I keep telling you, Danny says. I'm your friend, not your dad. If you were my kid, we'd be having different conversations. He grins at Caleb.
As your friend, I think you should get laid. I'll keep that in mind.
Danny drops Caleb off with promises to have lunch later this week. He spends a minute thinking about texting Claude to see where he and the rest of the team are, but decides to let Claude have his moment and goes home to jerk off, thinking about Claude's sweaty and post-twin instead.